tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Yo, what up? I'm trying something different. That one was not it. That one wasn't it.
We'll workshop it. We'll keep working on it.
Yeah, we'll just keep doing it live on air, workshopping it. I like it. Live, because this is live.
Recorded on air.
Yes.
Live studio audience, though.
Yeah, that's true. Studio audience of one. This is RBLR. My name is Liz. This is JD. He's special to the pod.
Good morning.
JD, how you doing?
I'm good. We got soccer starting and professional women's soccer starting in Tampa Bay in, well, like a month, but
do we? I wouldn't know.
But I got my fix this weekend from the WNBA All-Star Game. 3-point contest on Friday night, the All-Star Game on Saturday, the Stud Bud stream all weekend. That ish is hilarious. AZ Fudd is a baller. She won the 3-point contest. And the All-Star Game, of course, is just like just for fun. There was a dunk in the All-Star Game. That's a lot of fun in the WNBA. So it was a good time to watch all that content. And there's so much positivity. It's like an everybody loves everybody vibe right now in the WNBA. So that was a lot of fun. So I got a little bit of my fix, but I am looking forward to that being way closer to home than Chicago and our team being back soon, hopefully, maybe eminently, but it doesn't feel like it. Liz, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Women's African Cup of Nations just started. True. I watched a little bit of that. Of course, I missed all the fun that was today, Tuesday, and Barbara Banda, I think, scored like a hattie. Because she's Barbara Banda, I mean. Yeah. I didn't really do much this week. I just chilled. It was nice.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to continue chilling. Who's this?
This is Pablo.
Pablo has great facial hair. I mean, cats have everywhere hair, but he has what looks like.
he's got a great mustache, yes.
Yeah.
All right. We have about this much sun news. If you squint really hard, you can see the news from the sun. And basically, it's just we have a scrimmage this Saturday, August 1st, against USF. If you are a Sun Chaser, aka a season ticket holder, you should have gotten an email. Please check your email. If you don't see it, check your spam. If you still don't see it, email your ticket rep and be like, what's this scrimmage RBLR told me about? doors are at 9:30. It starts at 10. Like I said, make sure you check your email because you do have to RSVP to like a Google form or something like that. You can't just show up. Sorry. That's why we're not saying where it is. And they did announce a watch party. They heard us griping in the Discord. Yeah, is that your crowd noises?
Yeah.
It's gonna be at Coppertail Brewing in on August 15th in Tampa, 8 p.m.
Yes. And if you're a season ticket holder for the watch party, they are going to be giving you a season ticket holder gift. What is that? We don't know. They were very ambiguous about it. Maybe I'll try and get the social media manager to leak or to hint or whatever they do on Twitter. But yeah, we're going to try and be there, definitely. So there will be some Heatwave representation. This is why we didn't want to do our own watch party, an RBLR or a Heatwave watch party, because the team was like, we're going to do one. And I was like, well, there's like 15 of us total. Let's all try to end up in the same place. And Coppertail, I've heard is nice, but I have not personally been there. So if there's any Coppertail love or hate, let me hear about it. But I will be there to enjoy the first game of the season away to Dallas. It's going to be interesting to see what they got going on down there. The Cotton Bowl sold out 99,000 people to watch Jory Lister lead the Sun into her third season. Am I too ambitious? Is that too much to ask for?
No, I love it. Just never change, JD.
90,000 people confused because they thought it was the men's team, and their new signing is exciting. We'll get to that in a little bit. But in terms of Sun news, we got a little bit more, just a little bit more. And that was also the theme nights coming up for this season. which we have a few that are returning. And then since there's just less home games, there's a few that aren't in there. And there's some time appropriate ones like Gasparilla that where the season doesn't overlap with that time. Pride is also included in that. So I'm not knocking the Sun not having a Pride night. We did really good on it earlier this year. And I assume next season it'll be back and bigger and better. So I will run down just the list real quick of what our Pride night or what our theme nights are coming up. And this is like the whole season. It's only seven games at home. So on September 12th, that's our home opener. So yeah, again, our season starts August 15th and we don't come home until September 12th. I kind of hate that, but also it makes a lot of sense with the weather and the Rowdies schedule. One of the things they pointed out was we don't overlap with the Rowdies. That's pretty nice. Unless the Rowdies make playoffs, which they're looking good to do. So that's a bummer, but also
yeah, you can't plan for that though.
Oh, they're just so damn good down there. So the home opener also is salute to Brent. We love Brent, our serviceman in the heat wave, our indoor soccer drummer, taking his talents outdoors. Yes, it is a salute to service, but my favorite serviceman is Brent. So it's my salute to Brent. On October 4th, they're doing Noche Latina again, which was a very fun night last year. They had the mariachi inside the gate. We actually spoke at the time, put them on the field. Put them on the big screen.
Mic them up.
Mic them. Music over the speakers. I don't want to hear beautiful mariachi music competing with top 40 pop. I don't mind hearing either one individually. I don't want to hear them together. Unless the mariachi is performing top 40 pop, they might have been. That would be fun.
That would be incredibly impressive. Just mariachi versions of pop songs. I'm here for it.
They might have been doing it.
Hell yeah.
I kind of just.
But yeah, no, absolutely mic them up for real. Like, make sure we can hear them throughout the stadium.
Yeah.
That is the point of the night. I don't want to hear Taylor Swift that night. It's not the right night for it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
When you have Liz saying things like that, you got to change something. and then on October 10th, they have Rising for a Cure. That's the cancer awareness. Obviously, I assume there will be a charity affiliated with that. We've done that before. That was when we had the pink pre-match tops. They might do something similar. We don't have any details about the theme nights yet. Of course, those will come out as we get closer to them. But it's nice to see a few of these that at least felt successful in the past work their way back in. November 1st is extremely timely. It's Dia de los Muertos. And then November 14th is Built for Her, which I'm glad that they included Youth Night in parentheses because I didn't exactly know, as I say, wearing a Rise with Her ambiguous ass t-shirt, but yeah, and they had pictures of some kids on like the flyer promoting the theme nights. So that is Youth Night. You got to assume they're working to get all kinds of local clubs out. I mean, they do pre-match what do they call them, not scrimmages, but like training camps. Well, no, like camps, like before, like, oh, even okay, before yeah, we get there.
Sorry,
there's like kids doing trainings. So I wonder if they'll do like, you know, again, I literally can't think of the word, but they'll have stuff for the kids there. And that's good because we love that. November 21st, it's Friendsgiving. And it was just really fun to see the picture that they chose on the flyer, which was our friend of the pod, Heatwave member Ryan, and his friends, just his three friends, definitely not his wife and his two children. It is four people of
and just him going
friendship
at a hot dog. Or
yeah,
no, I'm sorry.
It's a sandwich. Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. But
yes, that was very funny. We always give Ryan crap, but the shit that we give him is because he looks so young. So it's not even like a bad thing. This is like the most tame making fun of someone I've ever done. But yes, they chose a very funny picture of Ryan and his family to represent Friendsgiving, which is funny. And then on November 28th, they're doing Maiden 813. It's also Small Business Saturday. So they're kind of tying that in. You got to assume many tents with local vendors, which I think is cool. They had what game? I don't think it was Pride, but there was a game that they did this past season that they had local vendors featured, and Tia got like a charm bracelet. That was really cool. It might have been Pride.
Yeah, I don't remember what game that was.
But there was local vendor. And then in the picture for that on the flyer as well, Maiden 813, there was a photo of the other mascots from other teams like Lightning Bug, Pete, or Penny. So that could be fun.
It wasn't Pete and Penny. It was Pete or Penny.
I don't remember which one on the photo.
Oh, okay.
So that is going to be the last home game of the season if there's no playoffs at home. And that's Maiden 813 on November 28th. Remember, the season ends in December 12th is the final, right? So that's pretty pretty crazy how quickly it's all going to go. They picked some good theme nights.
December 12th at Blake Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Manifest it now. They picked some good theme nights. I definitely enjoyed many of these for what they brought. Noche Latina is like one that stands out that I'm really excited for. They always have very fun giveaways for these, as well as they do a good job tying in the vendors and the pre-match activations and all the things that they do with it. They've done a good job. I have no reason to believe this will be any different. It might even be better. And so I'm excited for that. So that was good. If we're not going to get any substantial news, at least that's kind of fun. And we have that to look forward to, those theme nights coming up.
That's not good enough. I want more.
They have to do more in the next week? Or
there has to be!
Or we leave it all to the last week before the season starts? Or maybe like they're not considering the Sun playing until we're back home. So they think they have like six more four more weeks to... Maybe I shouldn't have spoken
that. Admin, if you're listening, we're not doing that.
No, Admin is not listening to our podcast, whether in Cancun or wherever they are right now.
They're in Cancun?
Well, they're not posting Sun news.
Oh, clearly. Okay, fair enough. They must be.
So that's fine. That was my one guess for just a random location that they might be visiting. Okay.
Kitty go bye-bye. Okay. So we almost have a CBA.
Let's go.
Woo, unions! So I'm just going to quote from the article because it puts it pretty better than I could put it. This agreement would give players of the First Division Women's League standardized rights for the first time since launching in 2024, including minimum salaries starting at $37,200, very specific, housing benefits, and fully covered insurance premiums. Additional benefits of the Super League's tentative labor agreement include a mandate of 2 athletic trainers per team, plus leave protocol standardizing an in-season break, parental leave, family emergency leave, and mental health leave.
There's some good stuff in there, for sure. Yes. Some other details around the CBA overall is that they've been working in negotiations on this for 8 months, so since December. And it's important to note, I think, for like the league's approach to this, that the league voluntarily recognized the USL Players Association before the first season started. So obviously there was a couple like things that had to happen in sequence. The players got together and formed like the Super League players are like, we're going to talk to each other about a union. And then they reached out to, or already knew, you know, more likely the USL Players Association, which at up to that point had only represented men's players. And then the Super League players were like, can we be a part of the Players Association? Players Association accepted that. And then the USL, who already has a relationship with the Players Association in the men's leagues, ultimately recognized that the Players Association would be representing the Super League players as well. That was really long-winded, but I think it's important to say the league always knew that the players were going to ask for a collective bargaining agreement. And so out of the gate, they recognized the union, and we're going to work towards that. I don't know why it took 2 seasons to get started. Well, 1.5 seasons to get talking about it. There was an article that they had started working on it before the first season started. That never happened. And we're here now. So there's a preliminary agreement and they still have to vote on it. But if you're publicly saying specific numbers, I feel like you are pretty confident that it will be ratified and the parties will agree. The term of the agreement will be 5.5 years, which would go through the 2031 Women's World Cup. And it seems like NWSL laid a lot of the groundwork for these terms because they're not based on... At first, I was thinking the Super League would try to get the championship CBA because that seemed like the kind of level we might operate at. No, the Super League is doing things better. And so I think they based a lot of it off of what the USL agreed to in 2021, which is when they signed their first CBA, which if you know the NWSL history, that was their 10th year of existence. So it took them a while to get to the point that the Super League is at. And that's because the NWSL did it and now the Super League can do it. So I'm not saying the Super League is better for any reason. it's because the NWSL is to that point that the Super League was able to get there so quickly. Rising tide raises all boats. So it's a good thing for both.
They walked so we could run.
Yes. They walked and are running so we could run a little bit behind them. So, they signed their first CBA in 2021, and here's a number for you. So Liz said the minimum salaries will start at $37,200 in the Super League. The NWSL only crossed the $37,000 mark in 2024. That is 2 years ago. The Super League played that year, you know? So while the NWSL minimum salary is now $50,000 and will rise again to $60,000 and then eventually to $80,000 by the time the World Cup comes around, that's an amazing deal for them. And that's how they're attracting such great talent there. So I have nothing negative to say about that, of course. We also know that, again, because NWSL set that bar there, that players leaving NWSL, if they want to come join the Super League, are going to expect to be around that bar. And the other thing that we know is that the Super League minimum salary will rise year over year, but neither party, the Players Association or the league, have disclosed what those numbers are going to be in consecutive years after this. So we know it at least starts at $37,200. So in a way, we're only a little bit behind the NWSL in terms of minimum salary, but I don't think it's going to rise as much as the NWSL is. They've grown so much and have a really great thing going on business-wise. So they've been able to accelerate that minimum salary. And I mean, those players, by the mid-2030s, the minimum could be $100,000, which would be amazing for a women's league. So that's really good. And then the only other thing that I wanted to point out is that they, like I said, attempted to match NWSL in a couple points, including consent to all transfers. And I think this is an important one. The USL, before it started, decided that they were never going to do a draft. And then the NWSL got rid of their draft too. It's clear that it's not the most advantageous for players. It's good for teams to get new talent in, but players didn't like it. They didn't like going places where they didn't get to choose, essentially. And that is kind of a continuation of that mentality that the Super League already had. It's like, they don't want to do a draft because players can't choose. Now they don't even want to do transfers if the player doesn't consent to the transfer. So that's good. Another detail that I didn't write in my notes, but as I understand it, also, if there's an option on a contract, the Players Association actually has already agreed to the fact that the first season an option, the team could choose to continue with the player. And in the second season, the player had to consent as well. It was two-party consent. So it wasn't in the CBA, but it was already agreed upon between the players. This is why having a union is important. Even if you don't have a CBA, there are still some things you can bargain on. So there are some things that the Players Association worked on, and mutual option was part of that. And that's really good. And again, that, you know, is now continuing through consent to all transfers. And then also the insurance premiums and housing benefits that Liz mentioned earlier are also better than the USL men's leagues, the championship.
I didn't mention them. I put them in.
No, you said them.
And then I was going to read them.
You said them, housing benefits and fully covered insurance premiums.
Oh, I did. Okay. I thought it was the other bit I put in. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. So, they are better than what the men have. So this isn't just them matching. This is the Super League doing better, trying to do better. And that was really nice to see. And then just another note kind of at the end here is that it also includes group licensing rights for names, image, and likeness. That's NIL. I'm sure you've heard about that in reference to college sports recently. That's how you get your league in a video game, baby. You know, if the players have an agreement to earn money for their likeness. So that is just kind of an interesting tidbit. It's so clear how needed NIL was for college players. And I think every sports league, like now, no players are being taken. I mean, certainly there are situations where players are being taken advantage of for their likeness rights, but NCAA changing their stance on it has like opened the gates to every professional league understanding that players' rights are something that the players should have, like likeness rights are something that the players should have. And that'll be included in the USL Super League CBA. If it gets ratified, it would be hilarious to say all this and then it doesn't. But like I said, if you are sharing details, if you're giving a quote, Amanda Vandevort was quoted in this ESPN article saying that this is a milestone for the league. It helps solidify our labor for the next 5.5 years, then you feel pretty confident that something will be agreed upon. If there's still some changes to little specific terms here or there, for one, I hope it goes the player's way. And for two, you know, that would be like what they're finalizing. And maybe they just haven't been able to get together for a vote yet. You know, sometimes there's specific rules with unions that votes have to be a certain way. And maybe they'll do it when players are more available now that everyone's back in camp. So great news. Super nice to hear. It was really nice to get a lot of details about it too from that ESPN article. Obviously the league release and the players union release are a little bit more PR friendly and not like journalism gritty. So I appreciate that ESPN has been the source. I don't know what reporter it is. I should have looked that up, but ESPN has been regularly covering the developments on the Super League.
Good old Jeff Kasouf.
Okay.
Yeah. I follow him on Blue Sky. He posts a lot of women's sports stuff. I like him a lot.
So that's super appreciated that coverage is there. A journalist is asking these questions and getting answers and giving the details to us, and then we can pass it along to you if you're not a sicko that gets notifications for news like this. But I think this just means we talked in the last couple months about the A-League, some players coming over, you know, American players coming from the A-League, maybe Super League 2 in England, maybe there's other leagues around the world that the salaries are a little bit higher because they have a little bit more of an established system, and the higher the minimum salary goes in USL Super League, the more attractive we're going to be to players from all over the world. So we won't just be taking, you know, if you want to call it NWSL rejects and college kids coming up, you know, maybe we could actually start engaging with other pro leagues around the world for a large number of the players in the league once our minimum salaries are better established. So that'll be really nice. And I look forward to the next, like, 2027 is going to be weird because it's our first like summer season, but 2028, like, there's so much to look forward to, I think. And while we don't know about the stability of the league, and there's definitely questions to be asked and concerns to be raised, if it stays the course, then it's worth being excited about because of changes like this that only are going to make it better for players and more interesting for better players to come here.
Just like a little side note, like on the stability of the league, they deleted the Spokane Zephyr Instagram, and I don't know why, but I'm taking it very personally.
Damn, they just said
they just deleted it. Like, instead of just leaving it up for posterity, heaven forbid.
Wild.
I know, because I have them all bookmarked. So sometimes, like when I go to do news for the show, I just go to my bookmarks. I just do open all bookmarks for this, and it just displays like this page is no longer available. And I'm like,
I hope maybe they archived it or changed the username. I mean, if it's no longer available, it's not private. Maybe they changed the username. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. There's been a little bit of movement around the league, player-wise. Dallas Trinity has the most news, and some really interesting news too. Tyler McCamey was a goalkeeper for Dallas. I think it was only just for last season, and has been signed by FC Barcelona Femení, which is kind of bananas. Sorry for screaming, listeners. But it's that was just like a whoa. Okay, they already have like Spain's starting keeper as their keeper, so she's definitely a backup. But that's really cool. They must see something in her that they wanna. They think they can tap into. So I love that we have these transfers. Even if it's transfers out, it's still getting the Super League name out there.
Yeah.
They also signed Jamie Shepherd. She is on loan from Bay FC. She has just 13 appearances in 2 years for them. So probably just looking to get her some more minutes on the field, get her a little more experience. And then they also signed Seven Castain on loan from Orlando Pride. And this one was a little bit surprising because she already has 11 caps just this year with Orlando. So maybe not a regular player, but, fairly often, at least on the bench, maybe a super sub, you know, coming around the 60th minute kind of thing. Little bit surprised by that, but also just kind of par for the course for the current Seb Hines right now, because he's nobody likes him in Orlando right now.
Damn.
Yeah. Lexington Sporting Club signed Ali Perry via transfer from Juventus. So another cool transfer in. I love it. I hope we have a very diverse transfer window this year.
Yeah. Yeah, and the league did an Instagram post, I think it was earlier today, that was they've been highlighting different signings throughout the league the last couple weeks, but the one they did today was specifically, look who's joining the league. Look who is coming to the Super League for the first time. Kennedy was in there, new Sun player that came from the A-League. So they're highlighting even that something about the Super League, maybe it's the fact that it's the third year. Maybe it's the fact that the season is changing. Maybe it's the fact that the minimum salaries look like they're going to be increasing. Maybe it's the combination of all of those, but something is appealing to a few more of these players from international places that might want to come home. These are notably American players so far that mostly are coming home from foreign clubs, but you know, the sky's the limit when we don't have a salary cap and who knows what we can do and what business we could work to get, you know, I don't think we're going to get superstars in, but stars, notable players, good players from leagues around the world, you know, if they're not fitting in at their team or whatever. I would love to see any of our front offices do some tidy bits of business in that regard, although I don't know if I would trust the Sun to do it. It feels a little more ambitious than we've been able to go for, but that would be lit. Sign literally anyone.
I know, Seven Castaigne would have been nice, honestly.
I know, and it's like, is Orlando offering that or is Dallas asking? Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, in some way, it has to be Orlando saying, like, the player's available. Like, they're not just going to, randomly tag a player on a team and be like, we want them. And they're like, she starts every game for us. You can't have her. But,
it's Marta.
Yeah. Son, shoot your shot.
You know, oh, my God.
Start sending DMs. Shoot your shot at any player. And who knows? Maybe we'll get a loan in. That's crazy. But yeah, it's definitely cool to see. And here, I'll give you some more context for Dallas. This is the last thing I want to talk about today. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because it's not really related to the Super League as much, but it does signal the mindset of the new Dallas owners. I know this is like the Dallas Trinity podcast for the last couple of weeks, but they've had good juicy news. So I'm trying to share just what's going on around the league. If Brooklyn FC was doing crazy stuff, I would have talked about them just as much, but seemingly they've done nothing still. So Atletico Dallas is the men's team that purchased Dallas Trinity. Now they're operating as a single club under, each brand, but they're a single head office. And they just signed Javier Hernandez Chicharito to Atletico Dallas as their first ever signing. This is a really big signing, but I'm going to get to that part in a second because I want to address the first part about Chicharito, which is that in July 2025, last year, he was fined by the Mexican Football Federation for sexist comments. In short, he was defending patriarchy, misogyny. I don't think he's a danger to women. I think he's a dumbass. That's it. Like, that's all I'm going to say on his comments. He was just defending a patriarchal society where women are, you know, submissive to men. So it's stupid. He shouldn't have said it. He's wrong. And also he gave a shitty PR apology that I'm not going to give any airtime. He tried. You still said it. I do love that he was owned by the Mexican president, Mexico's first woman president. And she said, I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. I'm also a housewife, but I'm also the supreme commander of the armed forces. Women can be whatever they want. So that was sick. Amazing thing for the president to say to your national team's highest ever goal scorer.
Yeah.
You make him look like a dumbass because he is. So all that aside, like I said, I don't think he's a danger to women. I just think he's a dumbass. He's a guy.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say that because he is signing to a team. Now, he was with Chivas at the time in Mexico, and Chivas also has a women's team, and the women's team was not very happy with that, and it contributed to his exit from Chivas being pretty ugly. So that's also notable to say that, well, luckily, fortunately, Chivas leadership understood that the women's team was upset, and also he was kind of playing like shit for them too, so he left there. Now, the reason why the context of him joining Atletico is a little bit different is that he's a superstar in the USL Super League. In Liga MX, he's a guy. He's a legend for the Mexican national team, but he's not putting up crazy numbers. This is one of the biggest signings in USL championship history, along with, well, Joe Cole got inherited into the league, but Didier Drogba played in the league. Like, There's like a there's like a list of like three guys. Maybe even Joe Cole should be in that conversation. He's not as notable in England as Chicharito and Drogba are in their nation. So like it's a short list of very notable players that could sign there. All of this is to say that Dallas has some ambition. They obviously knew this was going to be happening. They knew they're playing in the Cotton Bowl. Their configuration of the Cotton Bowl is 17,000 seats. That's still way more than Trinity has been selling so far. And Chicharito is very popular with Mexican fans. Even if he plays terribly, they're going to sell thousands of his jersey and make a ton of money and get a lot of butts in seats to those games. So that is why I bring that up, to say that those people that had all of that planned, maybe even before they bought Trinity, now own Trinity. And while they're in the middle of launching a new men's team currently, and we know that Trinity's current transfers were mostly the doing of the previous ownership, the Neal family that founded the team, we know that those transfers were already in the works before the new group purchased the team going into 2027 and the future from there. They might bring a lot of that ambition to the Super League. And I personally would love to see it. I don't know who the Chicharito is of women's soccer. You know, hopefully somebody less problematic, but like, it's definitely a good thing.
It was Allie Long and Fort Lauderdale fumbled it.
I forgot that even happened.
I was thinking about that right as you were saying, like, they're going to sell jerseys. And I was like, oh, yeah, like how Fort Lauderdale just completely fumbled that and didn't have jersey customization ready for her first match. What are you doing?
Is it too late for Dallas Trinity to sign, like, I don't know. But, yeah.
Someone would have to come out of retirement. We need, like a Kelly O'Hara or someone who's like, like, they're still really athletic, but they're not playing. I think she did like TST a year or two ago. We need someone like that.
I don't know if the Super League should be looking at TST rosters for filling out.
That's where we pulled a lot of players.
I mean, that's, well, is it, did we pull the players or were we?
Oh, already.
It was kind of like a 50-50, you know, whatever. So anyways, I'm excited to see ambitious ownership in the league. This is the same thing that I said about Lexington last year, although at the time I was frustrated with Lexington because they were our competition in the transfers market. It seems like our transfers market is a lot bigger now. We're not signing players from the same organizations. We're looking internationally. We signed from the A-League. You know, Lexington signed from Juventus. Like, there's interesting things happening there. So now I can enjoy a little bit more of ambitiousness in the league, owners that are really going for it. And I hope that this signing of Chicharito, even if I'm not particularly happy with him as a person, it's a business decision at the end of the day for their club to sell tickets to their games. That kind of ambition bleeds through into how they're going to run the Trinity in the future. So it's interesting. That's why I thought I would bring it up. Where, you know,
I hope it, you know, to put it bluntly, like they've definitely got some balls on them. And I hope they use it. Like, really, I hope they put their money where their mouth is for both teams. And they do some kind of, do a flashy signing. I don't care. Get some noise for the league, get some noise for your team, and maybe light a fire under some of the other owners' asses.
Yeah. I mean, and also you just said they just got Seven Chastain from the Pride.
Fair, yeah.
And that's a loan. So that might've been not a deal that the Neal family was working on. That might've been the new ownership getting a semi-regular NWSL player to come from the NWSL in the middle of a season
She's going to start for Dallas.
Maybe that's the level they're at. And then we got to catch up and the rest of the league has to catch up. So, okay, this should be the last episode where I daze get Dallas Trinity. I glazed. I don't know what I said. This should be the last episode where I speak very highly of Dallas Trinity. They are the ops starting in 2 weeks, literally. We will be away in Dallas. So then I will be saying horribly disparaging things about everyone in their organization. Just kidding. But they...
Amber Wisner retired, so...
Yeah. Well, they have some... they do have some interesting new incoming, though.
I know. But, we don't have a personal vendetta against any of them yet.
Yes, you're right.
We did Amber Wisner.
Well, and the thing is, like, no matter how ambitious they are, like, it's just going to make it even better when we beat them. So...
True. That's...
You know, that's where we're at.
True. And then we steal Jasmine Hamid.
Yes. We failed to steal her the first time. So we'll steal her the second time we get a chance.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
I just thought of one other thing. I know it's not technically Sun news, but like we did see today that Yuki Watari was signed to a club in the Saudi League. Bummed because I was really hoping she would stay in the States with a USL club or something. But glad she has a contract. I hope she gets some minutes. Maybe she can come back sometime.
On vacation.
Yeah, she does need money for that AI company.
That's true. Yeah, her she's using all of her credits.
It's all her tokens. She needs more tokens. Yeah,
you can tell I'm super into this.
Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of wild. I hope she's getting a big check over there. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a contract. I understand women's soccer is still not as broad as men's soccer. Getting contracts is still really hard. You're finding any place you can to play. So like I said, I really hope she gets some minutes over there because she did rehab two ACLs in a row because she just has the worst luck, apparently. Yeah. So she's going to get some minutes, and then she's going to come back, and then we're going to re-sign her, and it's going to be a beautiful reunion.
I can't believe Yuki Watari actually playing is going to get me to watch the Saudi League in any women's, men's, anything.
If I pirate the stream, does that, like, counteract League?
I don't, you know, we can't get into the ethics of watching
okay, fair enough.
International yeah. football that, on this show.
We'll go on for hours.
Yeah. but yeah. Well, we made something out of almost nothing this week. There's some interesting news floating around. The CBA is huge, I will say.
Yeah. No, so, that's awesome. That was great news to get this week.
Yeah. Well, we had nothing else. Son, please, God, please.
For the love of, yeah, what is it? I was rude last week and now you won't give us news? I'm rude all the time. How's that different than any other time?
You think they forgot? Because they just emailed the watch party information like an hour ago as we record this.
Oh.
So you think they like forgot and they were like, we got to give them something, you know?
we'll get them talking about a watch party.
Yeah. So, well,
crumbs.
We will have, oh, and we will have Mike on the scene at the scrimmage.
Yes. Neither one of us could make it, unfortunately. I have a bridal shower across the state I have to go to.
Why aren't you flying back on a private jet, Liz, with your new job money? Come on.
Because I haven't got paid yet.
Oh, God. Yeah, new job. New job not getting paid yet is crazy. But we will have some info from the scrimmage. Mike is a good soccer watcher. Tell him I said that.
Yes.
And if there's anyone else who's going as well, anyone else who's going to the scrimmage as well, if you want to let us know how it was, we'll tell what you said to us back to you and to all of our other listeners. So I'm sure there will be discussion in the Heatwave Discord about that, as well as, if you want to comment on the video or anything like that, let us know. And if you're going to make it to the watch party, let us know. We'd love to see you guys, you know, because you can anytime on RBLR Sun FC, on RBLR Sports on YouTube, you can see our beautiful faces. So give us a chance to see yours. And if you don't want to see our beautiful faces, you can listen on all of your other podcast apps. And we're on socials at Instagram, on Twitter, Threads, and Blue Sky at RBLR Sun FC. I'm Mom Says I'm Ultra on Twitter. You're Lizzie the Lion on Blue Sky. And that has been us. Wow.
Amazing.
Well, I'm going to let you do it next time.
10 out of 10 promo. It takes some skill. You know, I've got a year and a half, almost 2 years under my belt now.
I realize that now as I improv one. So you can't just do it off the cuff, I guess.
No, did you not see the intro, man? That was terrible.
Yeah, where you scream at me? No, I block it out every time.
All right, you heard what he said. RBLR Sports, RBLR Sun. Make sure you're following. Click like. Subscribe, leave us a comment, tell JD how poofy his hair is. I don't know, something.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.